You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to our One Conversation, part of the Better Together podcast. And today we have with us Mr. Brian Williams. He's a church planner up in Buffalo, New York at the North Point Free Will Baptist Church. I want to encourage all of you to get the latest edition of the One magazine. This is the October-November edition. And if you will, look up the article that he wrote on building bridges to my community. So this is an article that we're going to talk about very briefly, but I think it's something all of us need to think about, how we can build bridges to those in our own community, wherever we may find ourselves. So, Brian, welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm excited to be able to have this conversation.
Well, we just appreciate you stopping by and being with us today. We've got a fellow that you grew up in West Virginia, right?
That is true.
Found yourself in Buffalo, New York, trying to minister to people, reach people, and I suspect a little bit different than many of the folks in what we often refer to as the Bible Belt. How is it that you all were able to reach people in Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, it's always very interesting to have that conversation, how a hillbilly from West Virginia ended up in Buffalo. So it's quite the journey to be able to get here. But I was pastoring in North Carolina, in Lincolnton, where I had been for 11 years. And God was just doing a work in us about planting a church, and particularly being in an area that was basically unreached with the gospel. And so we moved to Buffalo, actually, 10 years ago this year.
Wow.
And so we moved here. And so we began that process of planting a church, and just trying to figure out what we were doing and how to do it. We knew the gospel was the same and still has the power. But those early days, especially of trying to get in a community and trying to get them to know us and build a little bit of a reputation, was a very challenging one, especially in a Catholic culture. Mm-hmm. But God has certainly blessed the efforts and given us some really unusual opportunities to be able to do that and impact our region.
You know, some folks listening to this podcast may say, oh, okay, I need to pray for Brian. I need to pray for his team in Buffalo, and we want him to do that. However, with the rise of the nuns, those who believe in nothing in particular, and the rise of folks that would even be more atheistic or agnostic, really what you're about to share with us is something everyone needs to know as they try to minister to people in their community. You were in a situation where the background of the Buffalo area was more Catholicism, and so probably a little bit of concern might have even looked at evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, Free Will Baptists, is even weird, perhaps. So what did you guys do to be able to build a bridge to folks to be able to point them toward Christ?
Well, just so you know, they still look at us like we're weird after 10 years. The accent always seems to give us, you know, people talk about the accent. For us, it's actually been an advantage because people regularly, especially my wife, is, where are you from? Because you're not from here. And it gives us an opportunity to share what we're doing. Really, to answer the question, from our earliest days, when we moved here, it was just my family. For the first several months that we were here, and we didn't know anybody. God had put another young couple in our path that was actually Free Will Baptist as well, that had moved to the region because of a job transfer. And so they became involved in what we were doing, but it was, we moved in an apartment complex. Nobody knew us. We didn't know anybody. And so I learned very quick the value and the importance of just meeting people and trying to kind of get involved in what we were doing. I'm somewhat an introvert by nature, so I had to step outside of my comfort zone quite a bit to be able to do that. But, you know, I guess one of my earliest recollections of how God began to put things together, I was renting an office building or some space in an office building. And the guy that was below us was an insurance agent for Allstate. And so we were just kind of briefly talking one day. We're both leaving the office at the same time, and he invited me to a chamber of commerce meeting. The local Chamber of Commerce does a weekly breakfast meeting at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. And he was a part of that. And he said, you know, there's like no strings attached, bring business cards, just come and meet people. And so, so I began doing that and regularly attended those meetings. And out of that, just gave me opportunities to kind of get my finger on the pulse of what was happening in our community, but also meeting some key leaders and having the opportunity to kind of be involved in what they were doing. A few months down the road, we're now hosting that breakfast meeting. A year or so later, we were named the Chamber of Commerce Small Business of the Year for the Lancaster area. So it really kind of, I think back to that conversation that certainly God put in place. But for me, it was just I'm leaving the office. He's leaving the office. Let's begin to talk. So even those smallest of conversations that really didn't seem important at the time, I can trace now all the way back to see how every piece of the puzzle has kind of fallen into place, so to speak, much in part because of that one conversation.
Oh, that's great. And so I see some nice books behind you, and being more introverted, we'd love to get, we just love to be able to read, sit there with some coffee and
absolutely
come up and prepare for our sermon. And we want to do that, but also you're seeing, I had to have some time to get into the community. It was hard. It was a stretch. And lo and behold, we got a guy that was just in North Carolina and he's from West Virginia. And now you end up hosting the Chamber of Commerce and they end up recognizing the value that the church is having here on the community. So that's quite a transformation that started from reaching out, building a relationship and going and doing something that real easily it could have been like, well, I need to do X or something else. So you've been very intentional, it sounds like, reaching out, giving a place for folks to be able to meet on at your facility and so forth. What are other ways you all have built bridges with your community?
You know, certainly the relationship aspect is big, but we were also stepping into a culture in which anywhere from 70% to 90% of the people are Catholic, depending on you know which study that you know that you kind of get your sourcing from. But what we found was most of them are not practicing. That there are, you know, there are some Catholic churches here that are thriving and doing well, but there are more of them that are closing than there are that are thriving. So, you know, one of the things that we had to do was we had to create, for lack of better terms, we had to create an image for the church that they were not used to. The Catholic Church, they will do, they'll do big events throughout the year. And there's lots of, you know, lots of details that come with that from gambling to drinking that they do, you know, on campus. But they charge for everything. And so we set out from our earliest days that anything we do, and we call it a family fun day every year that's on our property. We do kind of a carnival type with inflatables, and it's really just families that come, and we do free food, and the kids can just come and have fun, and it's, you know, kind of a no pressure environment kind of thing, but they can feel safe bringing their kids. And so we started doing that very early on. We've done it every year, except for this year because of COVID, of course. But even that, you know, there are people that, you know, they know us either because of an Easter egg hunt that we host every year that we now do at a local mall, because Easter in Buffalo usually still means there's snow on the ground. Kind of hard to hide Easter eggs that way. But we do it in a local mall. People know us for that, or they know us because of the Family Fun Day. We're out in the community every year during the summer months. We'll do free lunches for the community where we go, especially when we have, cause we still have mission teams that'll come in and, you know, they want to be involved. And so we'll send them out one day and they'll take lunch orders at local businesses. And then the next day we deliver these lunches back, and it's kind of a two touch type thing that we get to do that, but it's, But it's being generous to the community because they're constantly, you know, what do we owe you? You don't owe us anything. Like, this is, you know, we just love on our community, and we just want, you know, we want you guys to know that we're here. We want you to know that we care about you. And so not too long ago, just before COVID, I guess, I walked into the local bank, and somebody said, you guys are the hot dog church, right? I said, not sure exactly how to take that, but I think I know what you mean. Yes. But it was even those kind of things of just being generous. So our community, the mayor of our community partnered with us for some Easter stuff this year. But he also knows if there's a need in the community with a family or a particular situation, he'll call me. Just so we've been able to kind of build that reputation of, you know, we certainly can't number-wise or financially do huge things, but we want to be known as generous people that, you know, with the love of Christ can just give and serve and help in any way that we can. So I think that, you know, that's gone a long way with people, that they see it that way, that it's, we're giving back. We're not taking, we're not asking for anything in return. We just want to give. And through that, of course, we then get opportunities to invite to church. And on occasions, I've had the opportunities to share Christ and to go further or to see people come to know him. So those are our goals, obviously, but it's a lot of ground level stuff. So that generosity factor goes a long way, especially in a community like ours.
That's great. And so, whereas folks have been used to going and paying for this and maybe even a situation not be all that wholesome, in your situation, you are actually, you're investing in inflatables or hot dogs or making meals for folks, and people begin to notice that. I know a lot of times churches are saying, well, how many people ended up coming from that? And you really can't think of it that way initially. Can you?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a quid pro quo. I give you a hot dog and you come to church. Some of them would rather buy your hot dog, you know, but as they get the idea that you're being generous, I think the word you used, you have the opportunity often to share Christ with them. And what you said about the bank, well, you're the hot dog church. You do become recognized as, these are generous people. You know, these are people that want our good. They care for our family. They may be weird, but it'd be good for your children. They're trying to help you. And so eventually, probably a lot of them are able to look past that and say, I kind of like that, or embrace that. I met some of your folks at the men's retreat. I think it was in Michigan, and I was so impressed. I should have gone through and talked to them a little bit about how they came to your church. But I do see our churches that are willing to be generous, willing to give back to their community, even in the midst of the COVID situation. It seems that they do do better. And it also seems that the community begins to see them as a key component, you know, sure. Like you mentioned with your mayor there. So, boy, we applaud you for what you're doing. It's for the kingdom, really.
Absolutely.
And I think you've given us something, Brian, that we all can think about wherever we may be, thinking about building relationships and doing what we can to give back. So it really does work, doesn't it?
It does. And I think, you know, one of the things that I fell into personally in pastoring in North Carolina was you know, we were busy as a ministry, and we had a lot of things that were going on. And, you know, you get into an assumption, I think, that, well, they know we're here and they know what we do. And I think I missed a lot of key opportunities of just being in the community and doing that and being somewhat of the face of the community, so that when they see you, they recognize you. And we've strived to do that. And even now, some of those people that I met early on in those Chamber of Commerce meetings, and now I'm part of the Rotary Club and very involved in that. And so, you know, people see that. But even from those earliest meetings, I'll get messages from people asking for prayer or asking, you know, what our service times are, how's the church doing, And it's very interesting, you know, that to be able to have that. In fact, that the guy that I mentioned a moment ago that I had that conversation with from the Allstate agent loves what we're doing. And you know, he would give, you know, businesses would partner, or they would give or whatever to help with some of these things. And he's always done that. But he's never come to church. But he told me one day, he said, I invited him, I think it was a friend day or something like that. And I invited him, he said, Brian, he said, if I were to come to your church, my grandmother would roll over in her grave, a Catholic boy going to a Baptist church. And I've never forgot that conversation. But what I've realized is, when there is a need, I'm the guy that he reaches out to. And he has repeatedly, you know, asked for prayer for situations, or, you know, we'll kind of, bump into one another at a meeting and, you know, and he'll pull me off to the side to talk or whatever the case is. So, those things are just important. And I think we have to think differently now. That's not to negate the importance of, door-to-door or soul winning efforts, you know, those things are certainly important. But I think as a church, we have to think differently than probably we ever have, because the nuns are not, they're not just looking for the best church in town. That's the most flashy, or that's the least flashy. They're really not concerned about those things. But they are big on relationship. And if we can build those relationships, if we can, give to them something that resonates. Most of them are, you know, they're needs oriented, in that if there's a need, they want to find a way to meet it, or they want to find a way to fix it. And we have a lot of resources in the church that I think are underutilized, that that we need to find ways to be able to do that in our community, to build those bridges so that we then have the opportunity with the gospel.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the bridge building you're doing there in Buffalo. And thank you for sharing with us how all of us could be bridge builders in our own community. And so I encourage all our listeners, think about how you can apply this, building relationships with people you go to school with or work with, people that you live around, how we can be generous. Also, it creates opportunities, as Pastor Brian has shared, where we could end up having an impact and sharing Christ with others and be there for them in their most difficult days sometimes. I want to encourage our folks to go and to share this article. So you'll find, go to onemagazine.org and you'll see a digital copy of this magazine, and encourage you to share this article and share the podcast. Like it, share it with friends, write a review. Every little bit help. So thank you for joining us today on One Conversations. And thank you, Brian, and for your team there and the good work you all are doing in Buffalo.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. I appreciate it. Appreciate what you're doing.